Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And as always, you're going to get real talk with a real leader, and we're going to break down a hot topic to help you take your game to the next level. I will tell you, folks, you're in for a treat today. My dear friend Pilar is our guest, Pilar Terry, and we are known for absolutely being a fool together. So you might have to bear with us a little bit, but I guarantee it's going to be fun.
Very good.
Pilar is a PR pro. Phenomenal in the space. She is managing partner and COO of POV Agency, which is a PR and communications agency based in LA, but they do work all over the place. As I said, she's my dear friend, and I also had the honor of working with her. Hired her to help me get through some stuff with a former agency. So, Pilar, thank you so much for joining.
Shauna, as always, thank you for having me, and thank you for like sharing your light and your energy with me today. I need it, absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. Before we started recording, folks, we were talking about I was a little had a little bit of the boo-hoos this week. So I think we both bringing some light to each other, and we hope that we're sharing that with you today. So I always tell you how I know my guests. So when I was searching for a PR agency to help me in a former role to relaunch and launch a new agency within 90 days, so it was a bit of a feat, to say the least. I asked a friend of mine, Asia Bradley Kemp, to help me find the person, the people, the group. And she put out some posts in Facebook, I think, in a Facebook group, which don't always turn up as solid leads. But you and your business partner, MCB, took a chance on me, and I appreciate it. So that, folks, is how we know each other.
I mean, you took a chance on us too. It just so happened that what you were looking for, like a mix of B2B and B2C, we actually have that in-house, which is wild because most PR agencies and consultancies, they do one or the other. And you were like, this is the perfect combo. So we had to work together. It was
Yeah.
convenient. It was.
Absolutely. And you did, this is the second time you've come on the show. So again, I very much appreciate you doing this. Folks, I had Pilar on before last year, I believe, and we really talked more about her leadership style, which I've always had such an appreciation for your authentic way of leading. And you know, your dedication to excellence in the work, as well as how you operate as a leader and walk this face of this earth. So we talked about that a bit, and we talked a bit about POV, of course. So if folks, if you're new to the show or you didn't watch that one, we're gonna get into, we'll include some of that as well. But to kind of get us all caught up, tell us what you do at POV Agency, and who are some of your clients? Because like you said, the B2B B2C combination isn't all that common to find within one shop. So give it, let school us. What do you guys do?
You know, when people ask me this, I'm like, what do we do? And like my mind goes blank. So I took notes on what I do in my life. POV Agency is an LA-based inclusion-driven boutique strategic comms agency. We like to reimagine how PR is done, but most importantly, who it's done by. When I started at in PR about 2 decades ago, it was a homogenous space. I will call it that. There was not a lot of people that looked like me in it, not a lot of black and brown folks. And over the past 20 years, it's definitely diversified a bit, but there's still a ways to go. So what we're building here is an agency that is, you know, really powered by people who have been othered or are othered. And we really, instead of pushing that to the side and kind of like trying to assimilate, we really do embrace our otherness as our superpower. So when I say we are reimagine PR, how it's done, but most importantly, who it's done by, I'm talking about the folks with like very, very different lived experiences. We're incredibly proud of that. Also, we're not a multicultural agency. We just have a, and my friend Rebecca coined this, and I think I said this last time, we just provide a cultural intelligence to every single client that we work with.
Love that.
We specialize in brand communications, talent and influencer, procurement, negotiation, management, strategic partnerships. We added a new capability actually since last time we talked. We also help with creative and production now. Look at us.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're producing a couple podcasts now. Was that a dog? Did you hear that?
So sorry, folks. Petey is joining the show. Okay. We might have to edit that out. Who knows? Hopefully you don't have that on the show that you that you're working on. No, that's fantastic that you've been able to add those things.
Yes, I'm going to be totally honest with you. The landscape has been rough, I want to say, like over the last year. And not just for us, I think for everybody, like there's a small, very small election coming up. So people are
a tad distracted. Yes.
Yeah. So things have been kind of shaky. And I think if you don't look ahead and kind of future-proof your business, you can get into trouble. Like we've seen other agencies falter and close their doors because they haven't been thinking ahead. So my partner and I have been thinking, okay, we know that brand comms and media relations are definitely like our gateway drug, our bread and butter. But like, how do we expand beyond that for just to make sure that we have a diverse portfolio of not only clients that we're servicing, but capabilities as well. So we're trying to build in other areas. Did that answer your question?
It does. And I'm so glad that you touched on those things, because those have been things that have stood out to me about why I admire you both as you're running your business is the part about your commitment to diversity and inclusion in how you're, you know, you're staffing your team and how you show up with clients. And, because a lot of what we've seen is an erosion of the diversity and inclusion efforts that were, you know, came more to the forefront. And it's been so disappointing. So when I see people who have made the commitment and continue with it, like it is actually a commitment, not a flash in the pan thing I'm going to do because it's, you know, it's quote, the cool thing to do right now or PC or whatever, you know? So that part. And then the part about being a modern future facing agency, I also really appreciate, because what that tells me is that you've remained curious. You've remained competitive with yourselves, not with others per se.
Ooh, write that down. That is so good.
No, but really, because you both know about my Leadership Athlete platform and, you know, the mindset as business leaders of exactly what you are doing is remaining curious of what's going on and where you're looking around corners, like what insight is actually informing you, which is what we should be doing, like, you know, for our clients in the agency world.
Absolutely.
But, you know, again, like you're looking around those corners, you're remaining curious, and then you're trying to be better. You're working and competing with yourself to be better than ever yesterday, right? And so by doing that, that's where I've seen and just been so kind of in awe of the way you've shifted your business at times. You know, and I actually wanted you to talk about this a bit, where you've shifted even your work schedule. You know, you've remained a remote, I'll call it, you know, agency, all of these type of things. And to your point, like, okay, what service do I need to add to this to make sure that we have the right mix for what the clients need? So thank you for speaking about all that stuff. It's just so important.
I completely agree. And as I was prepping for this interview and reading through your questions, you touched upon like the 4-day work week and us being like fully remote. I would love to dig into that.
Please.
I think the last time we talked, or like early in my leadership journey as an entrepreneur, as an agency owner, I think I was coming from the mindset of like, I'm going to do what I think my employees will like and will appreciate. And on one hand, that's great to think of those things and like put yourself in your team's shoes. But I realized that I was motivated by what I thought that they wanted, and instead of what I wanted and the type of leader that I wanted to be and the type of leader that my partner wanted to be. So the changes that you mentioned with like the 4-day work week and staying fully remote, I'll start with fully remote. There were times when we first started the agency that it was like, you know what, for us to be like a real company, we got to get an office space, because my last agency that I also started and owned, we had an office space. We were right on Wilshire. It felt very grown up. Like I could look out the window and see the city, I was like, I've made it. I mean, it was like one room office, but still it was my office. So joining POV, I was like, at some point after COVID or when there's a break, like in the virus, we're going to get an office. And every single time I was ready to like go out and look, like a new COVID strain popped up. And it was just like the universe was telling me, it's not the time. Every single time. And then by the time that, you know, we could have looked into something like that, we had people all over the country. I mean, there's 10 of us, but like we are on the East Coast, we're in the Midwest, we're here in Southern California, we're in Northern California, we're all over the place. So it's like, where are we going to find a spot? Are we going to ask people to relocate? And we had a thing, we had something that worked already. So it was like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Do I want to go into an office every single day? Like, Shauna, can you remember when, like listeners too, remember when you would wake up every day, you would put on all your clothes, you would drive somewhere, you would sit there for 8 hours, then you drove back home every day. Like, that blows my mind that we went into an office every day. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting, even especially when I think about the last full-time in-office role I had. I was in New York City.
Oh,
it took me an hour on the subway to get from like 89th and 3rd or something to the West Side, mid 30s. I literally wasted 2 hours of my day.
For what? For why?
Yeah, exactly. It made no sense. So again, like that, what actually makes sense for you as a business leader? What makes sense for your staff? What makes sense for your clients? And the whole thing of like just making somebody do something because you want to either like exercise control or you think that that's the way it's always been, so I have to do it. I mean, I do think that there are some places where you do have to go in. And so I'm not making a blanket statement that everything should or shouldn't be a certain way. I just actually am applauding you pausing to say what you said actually was, what kind of leader do I want to be? What is important to me and how do I want to spend my days? And then crafting something around that is incredible. And folks, I should mention, Pilar started, and her business partner started POV during the pandemic, right? Like right at the beginning?
Right at the beginning. So MCB, my business partner, he started it in 2019. Mm-hmm. So it had been up and running for a year. I joined April 1st, 2020. Mm-hmm. That was like 2 weeks after the first lockdown.
Oh, wow.
So going nowhere.
Yeah.
And the business just like organically grew during COVID when other businesses were, you know, shutting their doors. They had to furlough workers. It just exploded. And I'm so grateful for that. And we got to sit in this space where we were fully remote and the work still got done and we were still growing. We were still like earning new business. We're still servicing. Yeah. And 5 years later, I cannot believe it's been 5 years that this has been around, but 5 years later, we still do everything from, you know, the comfort of our home offices. And it's amazing. We do get the team together at least once a quarter.
Oh, nice.
We take on retreats. We meet up like the people that are local and regional. We make sure to get together because you're right. Being in person and collaborating and like sharing space and energy is important, but we don't have to do it every day. Mm. We don't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really want to get into the main breaking down of the public perception of public relations, which we're going to do for the majority of this show. But I also just want, I'm curious, kind of going against the grain as you've done, meaning like staying authentic to what you know you need and what your business partner needs and going against the grain of like the shoulda, woulda, couldas. Is there something you can share with us about, I know this might sound funny, but like, how do you actually do that? How do you turn away or not get distracted by all of those things? Like, is there something you do to stay present, aligned, like just to stay committed to those things?
That is a great question. I think the answer to that is, I kind of think of like what I want to do and what I don't want to do and kind of stay on that path.
Okay.
When it comes, so I kind of want to bring in the 4-day work week.
Yeah.
That came about because like, A, I just think it's really cool. B, it makes a lot more sense to like dedicate 4 days to like your work and then have 3 days to like rest and relax and like connect with people. And not only did I think it's cool, that's the type of company that I would want to work at. Mm-hmm. So we made the decision that we were going to go to a 4-day work week. We did a pilot program. Everybody like signed an agreement. Like, this is what it's going to look like. You still have to put in this time. We're going to see if it works for like 90 days. And it ended up absolutely working. We still got stuff done. We're still available for clients on Fridays. So we work Monday through Thursday, everybody. We are on call on Fridays if needed. But our work week is 32 hours instead of being 40. And I made that decision because like, it just felt good. It just felt like, what do I want to do? What do I not want to do? It's that simple, Shauna. That's how we stick with that commitment. It's what feels good and what do we want to do and what doesn't feel good. So we're not going to do it. And it feels good to hire people that look like us. Feels good to have a company that looks like the audiences that we're serving. It feels good to work with clients that are mission driven. It feels good to work with clients that are nice people that I want to hang out with. I'm actually motivated and the team is motivated to do better work when you like who you're working with. It's just natural. We're not motivated to just think about like the revenue that we're bringing in. We're not motivated to work with people that suck. We're not motivated to work with people that like see us as a vendor and not a thought partner. We're just like, hey, here's my order, go fill it. It's like, let's create the strategy together. You hired us for our expertise, but like, we still need you to make this thing work. We still need you to be a partner. So very long answer to your very simple question. It's like, how do you stay committed? And it's like, I do things that I like and I don't do things I don't like. That's it.
Simple. No, I'm glad you described it that way, partly because, folks, I hope that in the audience, as you're listening to that, either if you're on the agency side, you're like, oh gosh, that gave me some ideas for how I could shift how we run the agency. Or even, I love how you shared, like, you made the trial period and everybody signed a contract around how you're going to operate in that. So thank you for sharing that kind of little tip or taste. And then the other thing is if you're someone in the audience who's actually hiring agencies, agencies operate that have leaders like this, who also they run their business this way. And, you know, I think that there can be a thought of, well, you know, agencies are very stereotypical and they're going to look and sound this way and they're all going to operate this way. So again, folks in the audience, if you're looking for an agency partner, there is one specifically in POV agency, but there are agencies out here that tick this way. So thank you for all of that, Pilar. Last thing on this part about kind of how you run the agency, because I think it's another thing that I really respect, is that I know from our conversations that at times you actually do hire consultants to help you see your blind spots. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is one thing like that I find, because I do, as you know, I do a lot of consulting for agencies. A lot of times that's in revenue growth. A lot of times that's like in the marketing space as well, which obviously is related to revenue growth. But a lot of times people's like, no, they're going to help everybody else, but they're not actually going to help themselves. You know, it's like oftentimes the first thing that doesn't exist in the agency is actually PR and marketing for themselves because they're so busy doing it for others. So, and I think that a lot of times it's that lack of prioritization of your own business when you're working on everybody else's business. So like, again, I admire the fact that you're like, whoa, hold on a second. I need some outside help to help us to be at our best. And so that we're constantly pursuing optimal performance. So talk to us about that element of how you stay on your own game.
Sure. I think what it starts with is I don't know what I don't know. And I'm the first person to admit that. What I want to do is like learn enough to be dangerous, but then so that I know what I'm looking for. So I know like what my blind spots might be. So when I bring in somebody, an expert to handle finance, to handle HR and legal, to handle tech, to handle our taxes, because girl, I am not messing around with that.
That's what I do too.
Right. Or even just to operationalize the business. It's because I don't know everything. My partner doesn't know everything. And I would rather lean into somebody else's expertise to help us be better and stronger and faster than try to do it all on my own. And bringing in a consultant to like kind of help us get to the next level, kind of help us like formalize and structure things that like it, I felt like it was necessary for us to be like a grown-up business. Like, yeah. How do we be better? I don't know if we've had this conversation before, but I've definitely talked with other entrepreneurs who are definitely experts in what they do. So like a dentist is great at dentistry. A PR professional is great at communications. A plumber is great at plumbing. That doesn't mean you're good at running your own business. Like, let's be honest about that. People are like, I'm going to start my own business. I've never done this before. And people, that's why people make so many mistakes, because yeah. they're like, I should just know how to do this. No, you didn't go to, if you didn't go to business school, I didn't go to business school, then you're kind of like learning as you go, yeah. making lots of mistakes, which is fine. You're going to grow. But why not bring in somebody who does have a background in running a business to show you how to run your business?
Yeah.
That's where that decision came from. It's like you're getting married. I do have a point here. You're getting married, right? And it's like the biggest party of your life that you've ever been to. And it's like, you're going to plan it. I don't know how to plan a wedding. Like I'm a dentist or a plumber or whatever. Like it's stupid. It's yeah. stupid. Like trying to master something that you have no background in. You can get as much done as you can with the knowledge that you have. But like, I think bringing in an expert to help is important. And that's what we did. And she helped us tremendously, put some systems in place. She was with us for a few months and then we moved on. And now like we're better for it. That's where that decision came from.
I love it. And it's something that I talk about a lot is getting out of your own way. And I think that is exactly an example of getting out of your own way. Yes. Is it going to cost you money? It does. Yeah. But you know what? You can't, like, it actually costs money to grow and to grow healthfully, you know? And so I think that, and I'm saying this partly because I had to make a decision recently about making a spend to help myself. And I had to get out of my own way and be like, no, actually, I don't know how to do this thing and I'm going to use somebody else. And I love how you also said you brought her in. And then the beauty of consultants is like you bring them in and then they get out of your way and then you go on and they're there for you as a resource, as you continue, as needed. But I think it is something that like we as leaders have to be willing to ask ourselves, am I actually in my own way here? Mm-hmm. Is there fear about, oh, if I spend this money and blah, blah, blah. But if you don't, then you're really stuck on this rock.
Yeah.
And you know, the element of that responsibility of you actually have people that you're leading and they're, you know, like their lives are involved here. And so I think there are moments where we're like, okay, whether you're going to lead yourself, you're going to lead others, like it's worth asking the question and being honest with ourselves about, am I in my own way?
Totally.
And what does it look like if I get out of my own way, do this, make the spend? And then, oh, like to your point earlier, you can be faster, more nimble and like, be better for your clients because those things are taken care of.
Exactly. I think it also reflects our personal lives as well, right? Mm-hmm. There, we as women, I think we're like, I have to be strong. I'm going to do it all by myself. I don't need to ask for help. I can't ask for help. People are going to see me as weak and blah, 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 blah. And that's actually hindering you. You're in your own way. Mm-hmm. The minute that you like reach out to a friend, like, hey girl, I am not having a good day, or what do I need to do about this? Or like, I need to go to a therapist or whatever. Like that actually makes you stronger and better because you are not stuck on a rock, like you said. Yeah. So I think if we can do that in our personal lives, why not? Hopefully we can do that in our personal life. Why not do that professionally as well?
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great point. And it's also a great transition to breaking down the hot topic of the public perception of public relations, because oftentimes what people do in the PR with their PR and communications is try to be like, oh, I got this. I'll do this myself. Or I'll hire someone who is, you know, not that experienced and have them be a full-time person and then just like have them smile and dial all day. So it's a great example of a place where it is worth finding the right partner. And creating that relationship. So, but there's a whole lot of mess going on with PR and a lot of misperception, a lot of confusion. And I know it irritates me when I literally, and it's not my area of expertise, but like when I've had to explain to marketing agencies, to creative agencies, what PR is, it's like, wow, we really do need to up level the awareness of what PR is, how to use it, and all of that. So let's do this transition. So yes. give us like the state of things. What the hell is going on in PR these days in the industry?
There's so much going on. So I will start with what's going right. What's going right is that the social media has absolutely like changed the entire landscape. It's not just you have to go to a third party media outlet anymore. You can actually become your own media channel yourself. Like we've got, you know, TikTok and Instagram, there's like digital native outlets on those platforms. You can get news so many places. That is wonderful. That is also really tough on like traditional media because newsrooms are slowly shrinking. Well, actually not slowly, they're quickly shrinking. So all of us people that are in brand communications, we're reaching out to like the same outlets and the same amount of people. And so it is harder to do our jobs because there's less people to pitch, to be totally honest. When you just look at traditional media, when you're looking at social media, yes, there's more outlets, but there's more niche. You've got to do more research. You've got to find the right people, the right places, the right things. So it's shifting so much. The news cycle is incredibly fast, incredibly fast. I think when I first started over 20 years ago, like getting something into a long lead was like the holy grail. You would have to pitch 3 months out because that's how long it took for like them to put the issue together. Today, I could pitch somebody in the morning and the story is up within 2 hours, or the story that afternoon, if it's a piece that's timely. So it's a lot faster. It's a lot smaller, like the people that we're talking to. And there's also this perception that anyone can do it. And it is true. PR is not hard to do, but it is hard to do well.
There you go.
That, right? Let's put that on like a t-shirt. but like it's hard to do well because you have to have a story that's timely. You have to pitch it to the right person who's going to want to write about it, which means you have to know what they've written about before. You can't just pray and pray. You can't just smile and dial. Also, nobody picks up the phone either. I can't remember the last time I picked up the phone to talk to a journalist, but like, will I be in their DMs every day, all day? Because they'll respond to me there. People think that, oh, it's easy to get something in the Wall Street Journal, or it's easy. I have a journalist friend. I'll just call them up. You can call them, but if you don't have the right story at the right time in the right tenor, they're not going to cover you. What else is going on in PR? It is because the real estate is getting smaller and smaller. There's less opportunity for earned media, which is like really the core of our business. And that's, you know, trading on relationships, trading on knowledge. There's no money that changes hands. I'm selling all day without like a, what am I trying to say? I'm selling, but like no money is changing hands, but I am selling stories every single day,
right?
All day. I'm selling people. I'm selling ideas. No money is changing hands, but like I've got to provide something of value to the journalist that I'm talking to the editor that I'm talking to the programmer who's putting together a slate of programming for, I don't know, the Fast Company Innovation Festival or Advertising Week New York or, you know, or Sundance Film Festival. I need to bring something of value. And I think what what people don't understand is that like, just because something is important to you does not mean it's going to be important to the media. You know what I mean?
100%.
Right? Like people are talking to themselves within like the walls of their company. And they're like, oh my God, this is the most important thing ever. This is the most important product launch. This is the most important shoe we're ever going to, like whatever the thing is. And they're going to assume that the market is also like just salivating for the news that they want to share. And like, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
You have to find the people that can make them care, which is what you do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. people are like, well, can't you just do this? Can't you just pitch it? And I'm like, how would you pitch this? And then they're stumbling over their words, or they're like, you know, because it's the thing. And I'm like, and that's where it's like this mix of like art and science with like a little bit of magic thrown in. That's what PR is. But yeah. Hold on, I'm going to read from Wikipedia, because like I said, I pulled up the actual definition before we got on. Public relations is the practice of managing and disseminating information from an individual or organization, such as a business, government agency, or a nonprofit, to the public in order to influence their perception. That is what we do all day. We influence perception. We're magicians a little bit.
A lot of it. But I have a question, because I remember, and this is actually several years ago, definitely before the pandemic, but there was this, I don't know, rumor or thought going around, especially in the agency side, that like PR is dying, PR is going away. And I think, you know, everything is switching over to social media. And another Achilles heel for some people is that then they swear they do this. Folks, if you're listening, I'm not making this shit up. It's like, oh, we'll just hire a young person, air quotes, young person, who knows social media because they use it for themselves. And they'll just come in and do social media. We don't need PR anymore. And this is actually like something that people think, whether it's for their own agency or actually like on client business. So what's gone on with all of that? Like that's something that happens and is, you know, again, very real, but you actually have a different experience and, you know, an expertise in this space. So what do you say to all that? Besides the fact that it's bullshit.
Yes, it's bullshit. You're being really short-sighted. It's not, social media should absolutely be a part of your strategic comms, like your marketing mix. It should be a part of like how you interact with your audience. There are different levers to pull. And if you're only doing social, you're pigeonholing yourself to just like likes and shares and interacting with your audience without like the benefit of third party credibility, without the benefit of there's so much under the strategic communications umbrella. So just to do the young person, even it's just really short-sighted. I'm sorry, I'm trying to be more articulate, but I'm being really passionate about this. Yeah. It's just so narrow-minded.
Yeah. And
just because a young person knows how to do social for themselves does not mean that they can do social media strategy. They're teaching social media in universities right now. I was just at USC, my alma mater, yesterday, and there are people that are like majoring in social media management and social media and communications. Like it is a practice and a skill. It's not just, I have an Instagram, I know how to do this. Oh no, baby. Oh no. There are so many layers to it.
Yeah. And to your point, it's narrow-minded. And the word that comes to me is like this oversimplification.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes people, when they're really busy and they're in a wholly different side of a business, they'll like oversimplify certain areas because they can compartmentalize it. And like, then it doesn't have, they don't have to worry about it as much in their, they think, right? They're going to shortcut. And again, it's like, it's worth just this entire conversation around like what is actually going on and the pitfalls of that oversimplification. You're actually doing yourself and your business a disservice.
Massive disservice. Yeah. People should really be looking at the peso model. I know we're all familiar with that. Or if you're not, it's your marketing mix should be paid, earned, shared, and owned. Yeah. So all of those things should be working in concert for you to be effective at whatever you're trying to do. So if you're only doing shared with social media, you're missing out. If you're only doing earned, like when people come to us and they're like, we're like, okay, so we'd love to work with you, but what else is going on in your marketing mix? How are you getting the word out? And they're like, oh, no, just PR. And I'm like, that ain't going to do it, buddy. Like, yes, we help you, but like, you also need this and this and this, and it needs to be working together. You can't just get one slice of the pie. You need the whole thing. So if you're just doing social, ugh. If you're just doing paid, ugh. If you're just doing earned with us, also, ugh. You need to pay holistically. And I understand that some businesses aren't able to do that because they don't have the budget or they don't have the resources. That's okay. Start where you can start. But if you're thinking for the future, think about layering on those things so that you can actually be effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Two things came to mind when you were saying that. And actually, so you started a little bit earlier, we're talking about like some of the tips for success with working with a public relations communications firm, you know, and I'll lead with what something that comes to my mind from working with you and some of the, you know, stuff we faced and what just being your friend and knowing we face this all the time, but is actually partnership. So like if I come to you, which is also related to like the like how to use PR. So if I come to you and say, hey, Pilar, I want to hire you to do PR for this, you know, ticketed event that I have coming up. And I'm thinking that your PR is actually going to drive ticket sales. Wrong answer. Or if I come to you and say, this is my story and I'm sticking to it. And I think that people are going to care about this. And to your point earlier, if I just give you like order to take, that is not how you partner with PR agency, a communication agency, quite frankly, any agency in general. The whole concept of partnering is sharing in that process, building off of one another. So that's what I'm leading with. So I'd love your thoughts on that.
I mean, I agree with everything you just said. It is a partnership. It's about sharing in that process. It's also, it's a lot about timing. A lot of folks come to us and they're like, we have this thing happening next week. What can you do? we can help, but it's much, 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 much more to your benefit if you contact us early, like earlier than you even think that you might need something. So if you've got something coming up, giving us like 6 to 8 weeks is wonderful. Giving us 3 months is ideal. We can actually put together a plan. We can do research around like the messaging. We can massage the messaging. We can like do a strategic rollout of whatever the thing is, but that gives us time to like wrap our heads around it. It's not just, like you said, ordering, I'd like to order the Wall Street Journal, please. Or I'd like to order CNN, please. Like it just doesn't work like that. So get in with us early. Partnership's also super important. There should be somebody who is able to be our day-to-day contact, who can get us the information that we need, who can get us the approvals that we need, who can provide access to key stakeholders that we need, who can be a thought partner, a gatekeeper, but who's always on call to, you know, be available for us because it is a partnership, who's going to give us information. So that's important. So that's partnership, getting in early, being ready to pivot, because news cycles change, the stories might have to change. It's also knowing that we're here to promote you, but we're also here to protect you. So you might want to go move forward with something and we're like, this is not a good idea and here's why. Let's try this instead. Not because we don't like you. It's not because it's a bad idea, but the potential negative blowback from the thing that you were trying to do could be awful. And we would like to avoid that. So we're here to promote and protect. Let us save you from yourselves. Sometimes saying nothing is better than saying anything. Just shut up. Sometimes.
No, it's so true. It's so true. And the other thing is that if people have in the audience have not engaged PR before, remember it is I'm saying this, but you tell me what you think. But it's like, it's a back and forth process. So it's like, I don't just hire you from the beginning, give you some documents to read or like one download meeting, and then you're off and running by yourself. Like there's a lot of, and this is how it's supposed to work, folks, is the like check-in. What's the latest thing that's going on? Let's talk through this. Here's a story idea. I write the article then, or, you know, the pitch for it. What do you think, client? So it is that back and forth. It's not extra work. That's just the reality when you work with PR and communications.
Exactly. Be ready to invest your time as well. Be ready to invest your time. I don't think I can say that enough. You will also be a part of this process. It's not just we're going to go away and make things happen and be like, here are all your hits. Here's all your coverage. That's just not what else. Another thing I absolutely want to add is that PR is a marathon. Good PR is a marathon and not a sprint. Yes. So I like to give the example that a client that we worked with for multiple years, I think in the first 3 months, not that we weren't like pitching our butts off or writing strategy or like doing work behind the scenes, but we got zero hits. By month four, I think we'd gotten 11 for them. I was like on top of the world. I'm like, we're doing it. It's happening. But because they trusted us, because there was a back and forth, because they understood that it's going to take some time to build momentum. Like the first hit is the hardest to secure. Cause like you're starting from scratch. You're starting from nothing. Over the course of working with them for multiple years, by the end of our engagement with them, we parted ways amicably, by the way, by the end of our engagement with them, we were getting 100 hits a month.
Wow.
And we started from zero yeah. for months. And yeah. then it was like, because we were finding our footing, we were figuring out working with them, we were identifying the right media to go to, we were identifying what we didn't want to say, we were, you know, figuring out who are the people that we're going to tap into if media does want to chat about what we're doing. And they allowed us to grow. They were willing to work with us. And that relationship was so fruitful because of that, because they gave us time.
That's, I'm so glad you talked about that because it again, it's not something that you turn on. It happens overnight. You know, it is that building. It's the same thing I would think, like there's other areas too in marketing and you know, the other areas of marketing, where, you know, again, it doesn't just flip on overnight. So really, really good point. I know I don't have you for much longer. So I want to, as we're closing out, I want to get to a high level thought on the difference between PR for people and PR mm-hmm. for business. But before I do, speaking of like amazing PR that works. Have you read the book by Fawn Weaver? It's called Love and Whiskey. So awesome. It is a Black woman yeah. who has started Uncle Nearest is a Black owned.
Very familiar. Oh, sorry. Tell the audience though. Tell the audience. Everybody needs to know about it.
Everybody needs to know about it. And Fawn has a background in PR and she is so amazing. She's like now at the top of my like who I would like to meet list of all people. She's amazing. So anyway, I wanted to drop that because what she's done with Uncle Nearest is like unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
From a PR and communication standpoint. And the book that she wrote, Love and Whiskey, is next level. So anyway. onto the difference between high level, because I don't have much more time with you.
Yes.
Difference between PR for people, thought leaders, and business.
Yes. Okay. PR for people is creating a brand image and then find a personal brand image and then finding different areas to plug in your expertise when it makes sense. PR for yourself can be honestly just doing posts on LinkedIn on a regular basis on topics that you enjoy. It could be offering yourself as a subject matter expert in industry trade publications. If you want to like raise your profile or if you want people to like know what you do. It's also figuring out what you don't want to say and keeping your mouth shut sometimes.
Yeah.
But like it can be really simple to like help you build your own brand image. And what I found it to be helpful with is like honestly the job search. When you're trying to pivot into another industry or you want to move on to another job, getting that third party credibility from, hey, I spoke on this panel, or hey, I was quoted in this article, or hey, I've been writing a lot of LinkedIn. I'm working on this series about XYZ. Like, check it out. Like that type of, it's a wonderful way to market yourself.
Yeah, smart.
And I feel like there's some people who have leaned into it really heavily. And now like their public perception is like, oh, you are on panels all the time. When do you find time to do your work? So you can't go too far in one direction. But I think if you're thinking about a career change or a job pivot, like kind of getting out there and getting your feet wet and getting comfortable speaking about what you're passionate about is important. So that's high level for people. For brands, I think it's really important to understand what you're trying to do with your brand or your agency. At the end of the day, are we trying to sell this thing? Are we trying to attract new talent? Are we trying to launch a product? having a North Star in mind instead of just like, well, we need PR just for PR's sake. I think that's where a lot of brands and agencies need to start, to be totally honest. Because some people come in and they just want their name out there. But for what and for why? Know the what and the why before you come to us, or let's find that what and why together, but at least have that North Star in mind, because then that will inform your entire strategy moving forward. And I think the same applies to people as well. If you want to get out there, if you want to get your, raise your own personal awareness, for what and for why, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to get a new job? Are you trying to start something new? Are you trying to get out of something? What is your what and what is your why?
No, it's great. And I think that, you know, again, I can't encourage enough. It's like being open-minded in that, because, you know, you may be hearing this in the audience and like, well, I don't really know. Well, that's okay then. Then that's part of where you go to the table, you go to your partner and you're like, hey, I don't actually know why, or I think this, and I'd really like for you to guide me in that. So that willingness to, again, get out of our own ego, admit, as you said earlier about yourself, like you don't know everything about everything. So, you know, really use your, those resources, and again, let go of your own ego, get out of the way, your own way, and like, you'll get there faster. So, so well said. Thank you so much again for your time today. Yeah. And I'll just close out by asking you if there's like a takeaway that you want to make sure people have from the episode, what would that be?
Oh gosh. It's like final thought. I think the takeaway is it's okay not to know everything. Yeah. In fact, you shouldn't know everything. Stay curious. And when you need help, ask for help. Asking for help is actually the stronger thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being you and in my world. Everybody, we hope that you enjoyed the episode and we hope to hear your feedback. So everybody have an amazing day. Thank you. Bye.